We worship you here this morning, Lord. We thank you for your presence that is here this morning. We thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord, that has paid the price of our sins in full and that is able to overlook what needs to be overlooked here this day, so that your word would be able to come in and set the captive free, Lord. Break any addiction, any lie of the enemy, Lord, Father God. That your sons and daughters would be able to worship you all the days of their life. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering right there where you're at, amen. If you're excited to be in the house of God, right there on Facebook, amen, give them some praise, amen. You may have your seats here this day. Worship team, great job. You may have your seats as well. Praise the Lord. As Pastor Felipe was picking up the offering, amen, he was speaking of the young boy that came and brought the fish and a few loaves of bread that he had. He could have been so young that he didn't even have a job. And yet he had something to give that was able to make the total difference. So it's, as he was speaking, he gave fish and bread, and God multiplied what he gave. He multiplied the fish and the bread to feed thousands and thousands. The Bible records that there was even leftovers that day. So if fish and bread is able to bring thousands and thousands of fish and bread, I believe when we're able to give the Lord our life, it's able to bring back thousands and thousands of lost and bound souls that are out there still this day. If fish and bread could multiply in the hands of the Lord, why can't our lives multiply in the hands of the Lord in somebody else's life? Amen? I'm grateful to have everybody here this beautiful Sunday morning. If you're here for the first time, we welcome you. Those that are viewing through Facebook, we welcome you as well. Amen. And I don't know if everybody knows, but yesterday we had Brother Jeremy and Melanie got married in the church. Amen. They found out yesterday that they are part of the promises of God. Made very clear that the promises they're going to make on the side to one another, some are going to get broken. But God's promises are never broken. Amen. Amen. We're the one that breaks them. Amen. So it's good to have him. He kind of did me and Marlene. We got married 23 years ago on a Saturday, as they did. And then the next day we were coming to church. And Pastor said, no, you guys get out of here. You're on your honeymoon now. No, we're coming to church. And so I seen them walk into it. I said, man, they did a Charlie and Marlene, amen. They could be somewhere doing their thing, but they're doing the thing of God. They've chose to come to church here this morning, amen. That's a good thing. Tell your neighbor that's a good thing. Praise the Lord, amen. Once again, I welcome all for being here this day, amen, as we get into the word of the Lord in regards to the sword of the Spirit, part 3. I studied. There's going to be now part 4, amen. So it's speaking on the parts of the full armor of God, amen. We still have 2 remaining, the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation I still need to speak on. And that's why we have this wannabe Roman soldier up here. Amen. Because we need the full armor of God upon our lives. Amen. I really believe the Lord is going to speak here this day, and even prophetically, He's going to be speaking here today. So if you're sleepy, slap yourself. Amen. If your neighbor's nodding out, slap your neighbor. Amen. Because we don't want to go to sleep on the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. A time to recognize Jesus through the sword of the Spirit. Amen. And if you didn't take heed to me saying not to go to sleep, I'm going to go down the aisle. Amen. And if you're really that asleep, you ain't going to even notice it. So, I've given fair warning. Sword's close. I know how to throw it also, amen? A time to recognize Jesus through the sword of the Spirit. We shared that out of all of the full armor of God, I know there's some here for the first time, everything, every part, all six parts are defense. Amen? All six parts are defense. And the only offensive weapon we have against the enemy is the sword of the Spirit. Amen? So it tells us that God's word is very important, and we need to know how to draw it against the work of the enemy. It tells us also if five out of the six parts of the armor are just for defense, that means the devil coming. If five out of the six parts of the full armor of God are simply defense, that means the enemy's going to be hitting. That means the enemy's going to be attacking. Amen? And we just don't want to be a defensive church. We want to be a church that knows how to draw on the Word of God. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, if you're there in your home right now viewing through Facebook, I pray right now that you allow an order to take place in your house. If the kids are running around, put some candy in one of the rooms and lock the door. Amen? Mom and Dad, you need to focus on the Word of God, or those kids are not going to have the upbringing they should have. If you got some music in the background in your house, go turn it off right now. We need to take seriously the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, and the Bible reads, in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows. Go to verse 17. Next verse, please. Put on salvation as your helmet and take... It says, and take, so I want you to grab your word. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If some of you didn't bring your Bible, I want you to point to the screen. Take your word. Amen? The focus right now is on taking the sword of the Spirit. Amen? And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We learned last week that in In John chapter 1, verse 1, 2 and 3, I believe that the Word was with God and God was the Word. God was the Word. We learned last Sunday that all of the parts of the full armor of God are given by God, but the sword of the Spirit is God. The sword of the Spirit is God. There's some things that you need to take a hold of in your marriage, in your children, in your house. And the way you're able to take a hold of it correctly is by correctly taking hold of the sword of the Spirit. It comes through doing it God's way if you want godly results taking place in and through your life. If your marriage is important, if your children are important, you're going to have to take the sword of the Spirit. You're going to need God's Word. We have some Bibles, the price that we got them for, the Daily Walk Bibles. There are six in the back. If you want to purchase one, you can purchase it right after the service. I finished off last week, amen, reading a story found in the book of Acts. Let's go there. I want everybody following along, amen. Everybody following along. We're in now the time of the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit has come. The disciples are empowered. They're no longer doubting, no longer backsliding, no longer going and doing everything but the will of God. But now we find ourselves in the book of Acts. They got it together. They're moving in power as God designed the church to be, as God designed His sons and daughters to be, moving in the power of God. We're going to read this story from verse 26 all the way to verse 40. Amen? Everybody following along. The Bible reads, "As for Philip," he was one of the disciples, amen? "An angel of the Lord said to him, 'Go south down the desert road.'" Tell your neighbor, "Down the desert road." Remember, he's in obedience and he's in power and he's full of the Holy Ghost and he's getting instructions from a messenger of the angel of the Lord. Amen? He says, "Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." Let's move quick. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the candidate, the queen of Ethiopia. So here's this man that's under, amen, the queen of Ethiopia, amen. He was a eunuch. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning, seated in his carriage. He was a big timer. He was a man under the queen, amen? He had a carriage, he had money, authority, power. He was even a worshiper, amen? And he was now returning, seated in his carriage. He was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." I shared last Sunday that here was this man, this eunuch, coming back from Jerusalem under the queen, amen, and he was in his carriage and he was reading out of the book of the prophet Isaiah. He's reading out loud. He's reading out loud. He's in his carriage. I believe he was feeling pretty good. He's on a desert road, amen, and he's reading aloud. And then instruction is given to the man of God, Philip, amen, to go down to that desert road that carriage that eunuch was on, amen. And then he gives him even more instructions, amen. He tells him to go by the carriage of this eunuch, this man that was under the queen, amen? And so Philip, full of the Holy Spirit, in the power of God, in obedience, follow the instructions of the angel of the Lord. And here he found himself on a desert road, walking beside a carriage, hearing a eunuch reading from the book of Isaiah. And we find that Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked the question, a real important one. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He was reading good. We know that he knew how to read because he was reading aloud. Amen? But Philip asks him a very important question. Do you understand what you are reading out loud? And we find in verse 31, the man replied, "How can I, unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. You see, when you're in obedience unto the leading of the Lord will sit you in some places, in some situations where somebody needs help. And all of a sudden, from being obedient to the angel of the Lord to being walking beside this carriage, amen, hearing this eunuch reading out loud from the prophet's reading of Isaiah, all of a sudden, Isaiah's at the bottom. He's in his carriage and he asks him, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch responds, "How can I unless somebody instructs me?" So the answer was, no, he didn't understand what he was reading. And this was the passage that he was reading. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" He knew what he was reading. He just didn't have understanding to what he was reading. Amen? How many can say that a lot of times, not sometimes, the Bible can be kind of hard to understand? Amen? It can be kind of hard to understand what the Lord is saying to your life and what the Lord is saying to my life. Amen? So beginning, here now is Philip responding, amen? So beginning with this same scripture, here Philip started with what the eunuch was asking the question about. He started there, the Bible says, with this same, that he, so beginning with this same scripture, I need everybody listening. In other words, he didn't stay at that same scripture. He took this eunuch down a spiritual road of understanding. So, beginning with this scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water. So it don't say how much time had elapsed, but enough time had elapsed for this eunuch to get understanding, because Philip, the disciple anointed, appointed by God, saved with the purpose, amen, was able to break down to this eunuch what he didn't understand, what God was saying through the prophet Isaiah. Amen? So a lot of speaking from Philip had taken place, and then I believe now this eunuch that had no understanding had some understanding now. And the Bible says, as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Phil away. Yeah, I mean, just, he was gone. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north. From down south, he wakes up, and now he's farther north on another assignment. At the town of Estostos, he preached the good news there, not just to the eunuch. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he had came to Caesarea. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him. Amen. That's the next one. King Connie, can you kindly please take over? Amen. We'll practice on Friday. Amen. Amen. Disciples being made. I love it. I like it. Amen. We got to use time and place. We got to use understanding and wisdom. In verse 26, amen, at the real beginning of the story, the Bible opens up, as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down to the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. Have your way here this afternoon, Lord. Have your way through my life. Have your way through those that are listening, Lord, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that they leave this service, Lord, Father God, with liberation, Lord, Father God, restoration, Lord, Father God, but most importantly, with understanding of your word. And we all say in one accord, amen. I placed in my note that there will be times God's word will lead you down a desert road. Here, Philip was in obedience, and by the leading of the angel of the Lord, found himself on a desert road. There's times God's word will lead you down a desert road, whether a smooth road or desert road. If God is leading and we follow in obedience, then all roads lead to lost souls. Amen? This eunuch, though he was wealthy, had authority, he was under the queen, had a carriage, had it going on. But the truth was, he had no understanding. He had God's word, but he didn't have understanding to it. He was lost. He was bound, though he had everything. He did not have the understanding of God's word. And there's a lot of times if we work hard enough, we can accumulate some things. But I don't care how many things and toys you accumulate, they're not able to give understanding to God's word. I put here, desert roads are not just for the lost and bound, but for you and I, the Christian. Desert roads are not just for the lost and bound, but desert roads are also for you and I, the Christian, as Philip. There's many Christians, including you and I, that at times don't like walking the desert roads that God calls us to walk. There's many times we don't like the process that the desert roads bring our life. There's times that God calls us to the desert road in obedience, and it's hard to at times walk those desert roads. A leading of the Lord. But these desert roads are important, not only to the lost and the bound, but for you and I. I have a question. When you got saved, were you on a smooth paved road or on a desert road? This eunuch happened to have it going on. Amen. This eunuch happened to have it going on. He so-called had a paved road of the wealth and riches and authority and power he had. But he was on a desert road. Truth was, he was on a desert road. For all the people opening candy, stop opening candy, Simon says. Amen. Let's go forward. I'm here to make sure those that are here to listen are going to get God's word and they're not going to be interrupted by candy wrappers. Question, when you got saved, were you on a smooth paved road? Or was the road you were on kind of like the road I was on, a bumpy desert road, amen? Going everywhere but the right way, amen? And that's why I put here, we can't forget where we came from and who God used. We can't forget that we too came from a bumpy desert road, that at one time we were lost and bound. And if it wasn't for Victory Outreach, a frontline ministry that was willing to go to the dusty desert roads, the bumpy roads, you and I wouldn't be here. We can't forget where we got saved. We can't forget where we got saved. We were lost. We can't forget where we were lost. There's still many out there that are still lost. And God will call you, will call me, the Christian, to walk the desert roads because they connect to lost souls that at one time we were a part of. Whether your road was paved or dusty, we were all in need of salvation. Too many are called by God to walk that dusty road, and it comes with the process. It comes with the dying of self, and we get out of ministry. We stop coming to church because the pressure comes on. Somebody says something about us, and we quit. When God was lining you up to save your son or your daughter, your marriage, your neighbor, your best friend, you were on a dusty road of obedience with a purpose in your life. But the dusty old desert road got rough in Jesus and you quit. So the person that was to get saved, in you breaking down and giving understanding to God's salvation, the good God, the good news of the gospel, never got it because you never got to that place on that desert road. You forgot that you came from that same spot. You were able to get to that spot in sin, but you couldn't get to that same spot in obedience. You were able to get to that spot being lost and bound on that desert road in disobedience, but you couldn't get back to that same spot on that desert road with Jesus in your life in obedience. Because along the way, there was a process going down that bumpy, dusty desert road. And something stepped in on your life that was big enough to stop you from getting to the place where you used to be to save somebody else. Tell yourself, I got to get back on that desert road. because my son, my daughter still ain't saved. God's still speaking to me. His grace and mercy, he still wanted me to use me at that spot on that desert road. It's got to mean something to you. That spot on the road got to mean something to you. Because your son, your daughter is crying out for help right now. Addiction and all that is taking place just to cover up the SOS in their life. But you stopped. And you forgot about the spot where you got saved because someone else was willing to go the distance in obedience to make sure you got saved. Desert roads of obedience, I put here, have a way of humbling a man, a woman, or a young person in becoming grateful. When you're on that desert road of obedience in Christ, there's a reason for it. It's to humble you. The flip side of that coin is to remove the pride from your life. Question. I want to back up a little bit. Desert roads of obedience have a way of humbling a man, woman, or young person and becoming grateful. And under that I put, and not forgetting your purpose of winning the lost and bound unto Christ. See, when you get off that purpose, you can spend the rest of your life trying to save yourself again. With having things and belongings and through a job or through a her or him or a dog or fish, whatever it is. Question. Do you find yourself on the desert road of obedience here this Sunday? Your walk's been kind of hard lately, kind of tough lately. It's like, my God, when is this going to loosen up a little bit? What did I get myself into? I was just supposed to be in the rehab for my month. That was my plan. But I'm about to graduate now. My God, what are you doing, God? Why am I still here? Do you find yourself on the desert road of obedience here this Sunday? And I put it here, if you do, let your faith then anticipate someone in your family about to get saved. I want your faith within you to be stirred and to anticipate somebody within your family is about to get saved. Because the more longer you stay on that desert road of obedience, sooner or later, you're going to meet up with that wayward son, that wayward daughter in your house, and you're going to meet up and you're going to be able to share the good news of the good gospel, and they're going to be radically saved like you were, like I was on the dusty desert road. You can even allow your faith to be stirred and expect even that person that you never, ever thought would ever change their ways. Do you know somebody like that today? Where you don't even pray for no more. They're just like a lost case. It's like wasting my time situation. I'm just going to let him do what he wants to do. I'm just going to let her do what she wants to do. Get on the desert road. Stop waiting on them. They're waiting on you. Apostle Paul says, I become all things unto all men, to reach a few, to save a few. We're always waiting for that son, that daughter to get saved, but the truth is God's waiting for us to get to them on that desert road where they're at. Where they're at. Where they're at. Where we used to be at. We should know how to get to that spot with our eyes closed. And we were able to get there in darkness. Why can't we get there in the light? If you're able to get there all high as a bat, drunk as a skunk, why can't you get there clean and sober? My God. Tell your neighbor, my God. Tell your neighbor, pastor preaching good. But he's already stepped on every toe I got. Good thing the Lord only gave me 10 toes. Because if he would have gave me 100 toes, they would have all been stepped on already as well. Some of you were wondering, do I got a big toe? Well, now you know you do got a big toe, amen? The gospel of the good news just stepped on it, amen? And confirmed what you were thinking about, is my toe big or not? Let your faith be stirred. If you're in obedience right now and you're going through trials, and I mean, you're going through it right now, and you're wondering, man, I thought this was supposed to get easier as I stay in the home longer and longer. I thought it was supposed to get easier as I stay in the church. I'm a leader for the last 8-10 years. My God, it's still getting harder and harder. It's just simply that you're getting closer and closer to that lost soul. Right now, we're just going to take a 5-second commercial. And God has put that person, that son, that daughter, that neighbor, that person at work, your boss, whoever it might be, in your spirit right now. We're going to take 5 seconds. And I want you to pray with me right now, and I just want you to repeat after me. Just say, son, daughter, I'm on the way. Stay put. I'm on the way. I'm back on the desert road. I'm back being led by the word of the Lord. Stay put, son. Stay put, my daughter. I'm about where you're at right now. And I believe here this day with a stirred faith in the house of God. Don't move. I'll come to you. In verse 27, we find so he started out saying that Philip was in obedience. Some of you need to get started. For the first time in your life, some of you got to get back to getting started again on that desert road that's lined up with souls. And the Bible says, so he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. Amen. He had great authority. Amen. He was under the candidate, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So we come to find out here that he was the treasurer of Ethiopia. He was a trusted man. He was a eunuch. He had great authority, scripture says. He was under the queen of Ethiopia. And the Bible even goes on to say that he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He was religious. I say he was religious because he didn't have understanding of God's word. In verse 28, the Bible says that he was reading out loud, amen, from the book of Isaiah. In verse 29 and 30, the Bible records that the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. The Bible says that Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand what you are reading? Point. Religion does not understand God's plan. Tells us you can go to church your entire life and not understand God's plan. You can be faithful to every Sunday service and still not understand God's plan for your life, for your children's life, for the life of this city, for this region, for this international work that we're part of. Religion does not understand God's plan. In verse 29, the Bible records the Holy Spirit said to Philip. The Holy Spirit was speaking, amen? The Holy Spirit is needed to give understanding. The Holy Spirit is needed to give understanding to your life and to my life. But without obedience in a man's life or a woman's life, God can't move. We know that God has done his part. We know that the person of the Holy Spirit is speaking right now. But are you going to respond in obedience to bring forth not only understanding in your life, but in somebody else's life that needs to get saved, that needs to hear the good news of the gospel? But without obedience in a man's life or a woman's life, God can't move. I believe with all my heart that the Spirit of God is hovering right now. Amen? Like a drone. Everybody's got drones now, and they just